The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning. Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We're located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but this morning, thanks to Zoom, the internet, the genius of John Sayre and Mike McNeil, we're as close as your very home. As you can see, we have folks joining us in person and on Zoom. So good morning to you folks on Zoom as well. I am Linda Weaver. I'm here at the Thomas Paine. I'm the treasurer. And by the way, I forgot to mention this for all the new folks. We're a Unitarian Universalist congregation, and we are really focusing on nurturing your spirit and transforming the world as you use. So listen, wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and love. So we have a very special service this morning, and a very special person is going to give us our chalice lighting words today. So Susan, would you come up? By the way, I'd like to introduce you to our newest Thomas Paine membership, signed our book this morning, our member, Susan Westington. Yeah, so here you go.
As we light our candles this week, we imagine the lights that shine within each of us. We each have intention, we each have experience, we each have thoughts, we each have feelings, and we each have wisdom. May these candles remind us to be in touch with those best and most unique lights of our own being, and to bring them into this room today and into all that we do in the world. Oh, and now we light the peace lamp. And then is it more?
I didn't mention to Susan that we were going to do the kind
of. May peace be with you.
Sorry, Susan.
It's okay.
Thank you. So now, and actually, I've been singing this song ever since I previewed it at home. Preston has been enjoying my singing voice at home. Because I like all of you, I'm not going to do it here, but we'll listen to the music. And if you play the song, the lyrics will appear on the screen. You can rise as you're willing and able, and you can sing along, or you can stay seated, whatever is your pleasure. I always thought the Eagles.
Sparkling ears lay against your skin so brown. And I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight with a billion stars all around. 'Cause I got a peaceful I'm already standing on the ground. And I found out a long time ago what a woman can do to your soul. Oh, but she can't take you. Don't already know how to I got a peaceful, easy feeling. And I know you won't let me down, 'cause I'm already standing on the ground.
Our guest speaker today for that wonderful musical selection. She really has helped us pick some songs that are going to put you in the mood. So you know the funny thing about records, and I don't mean musical records, I mean when you set a record, you know there's always somebody who's going to come and break that record. So Susan, I announced that you were the newest T-Puff member, and that really wasn't true. Although you signed the book at 10 o'clock, someone else signed it after that. So I'd like us to give a T-Puff welcome to Sally Hoffman, who is indeed our newest member. I didn't know that, or I would have never made that statement. And believe me, my husband, the engineer, would have corrected me if he knew it. Right, Preston? Okay. So, our Soul Matters theme this month is finding our center. When we talk about finding our center, it's natural for calm and rest to be the first things that come to our mind. So today, all of our activities are going to be about trying to find our center and celebrating ourselves. So I'm going to start off with our story. And again, that is really my favorite part. As some of you may know, I'm a retired teacher, and you just can't take the teacher out of the retiree. So if I could have some helpers up here, and here's what I need help with. I have this great book called Maybe, but I also have The Maybe Pig. And I'm going to need help corralling The Maybe Pig. So if you guys would come on up, that would be great, if you want to.
Okay, I'm on, right? Okay, thanks. Okay, so now here's what we're going to do. Since I have a couple pig holders here, if I read a couple of pages, and then could you pass it on so everybody gets a turn to hold? That'd be great. Thanks. Okay, the slides are going to appear up on the screen for you to see, and I'm going to have the book here so I can read. The book is called Maybe, and Hey, have you ever wondered why you are here? I mean, I know your mom drove you here, right? That's why you're here. Your mom or dad drove you here. But have you ever wondered why you're here on this earth? You are the only you there ever has been or ever will be. You have so much to offer. Maybe you will invent something that no one has ever seen before. Maybe you will build things that reach high into the sky. Your life is yours. Try as many things as you can try. See as much as you can see. Wherever you go, take your hopes, pack your dreams, and never forget, it is on journeys that discoveries are made. You want to hold the pig now? Isn't that the cutest pig? Maybe you will help others see the beauty in each day. Or maybe you will lift cheering crowds onto their feet. Do everything with love. Follow your heart and see where it leads you. You see a pig going up the steps. Maybe you're here to shine a light into places that have been dark for far too long. Maybe you will speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. Maybe you're here to help in ways that only you can help. There will be struggles, there will be fears, and it won't always be easy. At times it will feel really hard, and you might make a mess of things. You may fall down. You may fail. But you will also get back up, and you will rise a little stronger and a little taller, because there really is more inside you than you know. And this world needs your gifts, your talents, and your big ideas. And maybe you're just getting started. What if you are only scratching the surface of what you can do and who you can be? What if you have talents you haven't discovered yet? There is something powerful, even magical, about you. You already have everything it takes to do big things. Maybe you have no idea just how good you really can be. And maybe you don't know how much you matter. But maybe, just maybe, the world has been waiting centuries for someone exactly like you. One thing is for sure, you are here. And because you are here, anything is possible. Even pigs can fly. So with that, I want to thank you. And we're going to sing you out to your classes now. Ready? Go now in peace. Go now. You can pick it. Peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Okay, so the need for calm really is everywhere around us. I mean, so many of us are tired. And by the way, before I go into that, did you adults notice how that book really applied to all of us too? I mean, we try to pick stories that of course apply to children, but it also applies to all of us. So we're tired, we're overworked, we're overbusy, we're overcommitted, we're overscheduled. And we often are so weighted down by responsibility and worry that it just takes one drop of something unexpected to tip us over. Well, on a personal note, we had that one drop of the unexpected starting in November in our personal life. Preston started experiencing unexplained and often excruciating pain. That was the beginning of a journey that involved our primary care physician at Penn, an orthopedic surgeon at Penn, two physical therapists, two chiropractors, and our guest speaker today, Heather Gustafson. And according to Preston, Heather was the one who was able to give him the most relief from pain.
Heather leads two Relax Reset yoga classes here at Thomas Paine on Thursdays, one at 9 in the morning and one at 7 at night. And I'm going to let her tell you her credentials and her background and how she got to where she is today. So with no further ado, Heather Gustafson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for welcoming me here. And for those of you at home, thank you for joining from your home. And thank you to Preston and Linda for offering this invitation, which I humbly accepted. I never thought of myself as doing this before. So as I was planning, on speaking today, of course, you know, you go through notes and things, and there's so much I would like to say in a short amount of time. And I really would like to introduce myself through explaining the practices and my journey in finding the practices, if that's okay. So I'll kind of weave that in instead of just kind of listing or so you'll get to know me better through this experience this morning. And I'd like this to be a little bit experiential. Everything we do will be gentle. I may ask you to stand if you're willing to do that, but we will have some mindfulness and body awareness experiences woven in. So I'd actually like to start with one, which I call arriving and landing. So you're already seated. You can stay seated. Just notice a little bit how you're seated. Maybe you can shift your hips back in the chair, or without straining or forcing in any way, sit just with a little awareness of your posture. We tend to just have very habitual ways that we land in a chair or stay in a chair. You can have your eyes open for this, maybe a soft downward gaze or eyes closed. And we'll simply notice where our body meets support. So if you're seated, you can do a little scan to notice in the back of the chair, the seat of the chair, on down to, or the feet on the floor. This brings the mind into the body. The body is always in the present moment. And the mind can be forward thinking, reviewing the past, and so we can connect those two things together. Just this simple awareness of being supported. So this is considered a grounding practice. And again, just bringing sort of our very top-heavy activity, mental activity, down into awareness of the body. So I'll take a few minutes to sort of start where I consider where my start of my journey was, and then we'll do another practice together. So I have a nursing background. As a teenager, I was very fascinated by the human body, and I care about people. So that seemed a good fit. There were other choices. I could have been a physician, and I just really felt drawn to nursing. And so I got started, went away to college in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. I lived in New Jersey, and got my degree in nursing, and wound up in Philadelphia at Hahnemann University Hospital. And I worked there for about 10 years. I had a really, I'm very grateful for all the experiences I had there. I started, you know, staff nurse, young, a new graduate, and we had mentors. It was a wonderful mentoring program, and quickly became interested in cardiac nursing and ended up in the cardiothoracic intensive care, taking patients out of the operating room. Very adrenaline filled, and a lot of teamwork and synergy with kind of that life and death stuff. And I decided to go back to school for a graduate degree, but I decided not to do that in nursing. I thought I could really contribute to helping to run a hospital. So I went to St. Joe's, and so I'm doing this all this at the same time. I'm kind of changing jobs, I'm working different shifts, and then I start a graduate degree. And quickly, and I'm in my 20s, but quickly the stress built up without me really even knowing that was what was happening. So there reached a point when I was managing 90 people at the age of 29, had a 24/7 beeper, I didn't really even understand how overstimulated and anxious I was. I don't even know if I used those words. I just knew I was stressed. Stress is like a kind of, we throw everything in that bucket. So I started to explore, and I kind of had noticed along the way too, taking patients that had open heart surgery and looking what they went through and what we did. And I thought, you know, I don't want to end up having that surgery. You know, is there some way I can take care of myself? So those things kind of came together. And of course it was the low fat diet back then and other things. So those things came together for me to explore, and a colleague kind of, you know, helped me explore some Eastern things, Reiki, which just comes from Japan, and then yoga, which originated in India. And I found someone locally here who was teaching in a church, kind of similarly to how I am now, and got started that way with learning how to get out of that busy mind and striving and into something else. So that's kind of where my journey started. So I'd like to now switch to another practice so that we can do some practice together throughout. And this is called elevator breath. And I want to share things that you may remember, one of them you may enjoy or want to practice later. So elevator breath is generally one that, you know, we might be able to remember. So again, just sitting in your chair, you could stand if you want. I'm going to ask you to stand for another short practice. And we'll take three breaths and imagine that our body is divided into floors. Again, closing your eyes if that's comfortable for you, or a soft downward gaze. We'll breathe in through the top of the head, inhale, and the elevator is up here at the top floor. On the exhale, slowly imagine the elevator coming down to your shoulders as you exhale. Breathe in here at shoulder level. And then exhale down to the hips. Breathe in at the hips. And the elevator travels down the legs into the ankles and the feet, ground level. And we'll just do that one more time. Bring your awareness up to the top of the head. Take a breath in. Your exhale brings you down to the shoulders. Maybe the shoulders sink down away from the ears a little bit. Inhale at the shoulders when you're ready, and the next exhale, elevator travels down to the center of the body, the hips. And then finally, with a breath in, slow elevator ride down the legs, into the ankles, down to the feet, landing at ground level, ground floor. And we can imagine the elevator doors slide open. Easeful fuller breath. And then exhale. Linda started talking about what it might feel like in the intro, which was great, when we're not centered. So in order to maybe have a motivation to want to be centered or find center or balance, which is ever changing, it's not like we can find it and stay there, but we can have tools where it's easier to get back again and again, and we can return to that place when we practice. It's really through practice. So some of the ways we might notice that we're not centered is feeling rushed. Time pressure is a big one for me. I'm rushing. Feeling anxious, whatever that might feel like for you. Feeling like we don't have enough time. Again, time pressure, exhausted, might feel really tired, overwhelmed, irritable, distracted. Anybody else want to, what does it feel like? Anybody go ahead and shout out? Anything else I missed?
Agitated.
Frustrated. Can we think clearly when we're feeling these things? Is it easy to think clearly? No. Is it easy to remember things? There's actually studies going on about that when we're in an upregulated state. So I will refer to some kind of bodily things. So we are having a lot of overstimulation, I'm going to call it. We're stimulated really all the time, anywhere we go. And that causes a certain imbalance in the nervous system. We're in fight, flight, freeze a lot of the time. And that's a very helpful nervous system response to get us out of danger. It's not helpful all the time. And we tend to find ourselves that way in a lot of our waking hours without even realizing it. So a lot of the things I do for myself and that I'm sharing are in the background designed to down-regulate or downshift, change the channel. We're kind of at some channel way up here. How do we change the channel? And it's not easy to do when that is the pattern. There's a lot of biochemistry that kicks in everything with stress, and there's so much research even with just how this element of what we call stress causes inflammation in the body and leads to some of the things we find, you know, in these diagnoses that we get when we go to our Western healthcare. So I realized too, through my nursing, that and exploring some of these things like yoga, and you know, I explored some chiropractic, especially when I became pregnant, I was having some sciatica. And so I realized there are other things than just going through our traditional medical system. So what might it feel like to be balanced or to find center? You feel calm, calmer, grounded. You may feel like there's more order, we can be more organized, we can think more clearly. You may feel unhurried. You may feel at ease. So that's something that I value. I value having some element of feeling at ease, and that can be in the mind and the body. Feel at home. I found that these practices have made me realize there's a place that I can pause and settle into that gives me a sense of comfort for ourselves, for myself. So if we look to nature, really has, you know, this balance inherent, the seasons, animals and what they do seasonally, and there's a quote, and I'm not gonna remember who to attribute it to, but nature doesn't hurry, yet everything is accomplished. And if we notice even our animals, they've been resting and then they get up to go, you know, we're gonna take them out. You know, they do this like blissful stretching. You know, it doesn't look strained. You know, here we do our stretching and it's like, oh, push to the edge and, oh, you know, we gotta achieve something. So connecting with nature, and that could be a whole nother theme, is also very helpful for human beings, because we're really a species on the planet of higher intelligence, and we have this freedom that I don't think we think of in this way, is we have the ability to choose where we place our attention, to choose what we attend to. And our attention is co-opted a lot of the time by all the constant stimulation, the pings, the dings. You know, you even want to look at an article and the ads are going, and then all of a sudden the video starts going, and then, you know, so our attention is co-opted, and that's actually even done on purpose. If you've heard of the documentary The Social Dilemma, which had big tech execs who had left talk about the way those platforms are designed, Facebook, etc., to keep you stimulated and give you actually a dopamine, it's a biochemical dopamine hit. So there's a lot out there now about that too. So we have a choice where we place our attention, and it's noticing when we're not placing our attention where we want it is kind of that place where we can make that choice where we bring our attention. So let's do another practice. Let's do the counting breath. The counting breath is basically the exhale is longer than the inhale. So as you're sitting there again, eyes could be closed or a soft downward gaze, you start to breathe in, and it's not a forceful full breath, but an easeful fuller breath, and count slowly to yourself. One, two, three. Maybe you reach, so we're not striving too much, a three or a four. And then count on the out breath, same pace, and go beyond the number you counted in. So if you inhale to a three, you'll exhale to a four or five. And we'll do this for several breaths. So maybe that exhale approaches even double the length of the inhale, again, without forcing. Few more breaths, longer, slower exhalation. So this simple breath with the extended exhale helps with that down regulation of the nervous system, helping us shift from fight, flight, freeze, upregulated to rest, digest, relax. So even just this 2 minutes maybe we did that is helpful. And what I really like and have found that any of these practices can be done by themselves. You don't have to force yourself to sit and meditate for, you know, I have to meditate for 30 minutes to get somewhere. Really little bits of these things or remembering or making a habit of a 5 minute practice for yourself can be really, really helpful. It's like going to the gym and just choosing one or two exercises to do, and we have to train those muscles. We're training ourselves to kind of come into ourselves and come into the present. So along my journey, after my big job with the 24-hour beeper, I became pregnant during that job. And I also lived in Schwanksville and was commuting to Center City. I didn't add that. That was another stressor. The traffic's much worse now, but it wasn't fun. So after I had my son, I realized I wasn't going to go back to that job and then raise a child. That was pretty clear to me. And so I was fortunate enough, we had to really scramble to figure out this new thing where I wasn't going to be working with the house and mortgage and 2 car payments. And we did. And so I was able to, you know, figure out this new thing, motherhood. And then also I had some time to continue to study. I consider myself a lifelong learner. And I really was called to look into the yoga a little bit more. So I ended up, you know, my yoga teacher said, hey, I think you should take a teacher training and kind of getting in that way. And I'm very kinetic. And I had heard of meditating and how that would be helpful for someone with a very active or anxious mind, but that wasn't appealing to me to just sit. So I kind of entered through the yoga door, and a lot of people enter into some of these things through activity. I do believe that could be easier. So it took me a while before I really found mindfulness, which is the most researched form of meditation. In the 1970s, Jon Kabat-Zinn had started what was called MBSR, mindfulness-based stress relief. And that was at University of Massachusetts Amherst, I believe. And then also across the pond in England, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy was kind of coming up at that same time. So there's a lot of research about mindfulness and a lot of ways to try to define it. But this to me is kind of what we're doing here. We're bringing our mind to our body, we're paying attention to something, and we can actually even bring that into something as simple as washing the dishes. There's a Vietnamese monk, Thich Nhat Hanh, that has many books, and it will just, you know, the joy of washing the dishes and feeling the warm water and, you know, bringing that to. So that appeals to me to kind of, yeah, how can I bring this into my life instead of just, I have to, you know, segregate my time for this, for these things. And then I also found something called positional therapy, which has to do with muscle balance. A lot of our aches and pains in the body are due to muscle imbalance. And the way I found this was walking in the park here at the library, up the street, on a winter day. And it was not particularly icy, but when I got to the bottom of the park, I was walking my dog, there was a patch of ice, and I thought I was avoiding it, and next thing I knew, I was on my back. And I had pretty good balance, I didn't even know I was falling. So I ended up with a concussion, and didn't black out, and didn't have, you know, worse complications, but realized I had to get up. My dog was still right there, and I had to get myself to the car and drive home. I was supposed to be bringing my son to a basketball practice. That didn't happen. And, you know, I don't know if I was rushing, not paying attention. So I was very focused on, if anyone's ever had a concussion, the first couple of weeks were very difficult. And it actually took me, this was in December, to almost April to feel clear-headed again. So I started just kind of doing less yoga, just I wanted to do very gentle things, was sitting in a recliner a lot of the time when I was not supposed to be, you know, watching TV, I was supposed to be in a dark room and all this stuff. And I realized I actually did some, made some imbalances worse to where I had some lower back pain that I hadn't had before. Physical therapy didn't help, couldn't figure it out as a nurse or a yoga teacher, physician couldn't really help, there wasn't really anything wrong. And here it was, this muscle balance. So sometimes the things that happen to us that seem bad can lead to us finding something else. So that's how I came to be now a positional therapist or practice integrated positional therapy, which has been featured on PBS in a couple of specials. And my mentor, who I assist, is named Lee Albert. So I came to this realization. So I'm going to have you stand up now, and we'll do a mind-body practice that incorporates a little bit, I can explain a little bit while we're doing it, about muscle balance in the body. If you're able to clasp your hands behind your back, and if that is not comfortable for your shoulders, wrists, you could even just maybe hold one wrist or bring the fingers together in another way. Roll your shoulders up, back, and down. Because we've already done some grounding practices, you can just kind of look down at your feet and see if you can make them parallel. Whatever distance apart is comfortable is fine, but we have a habit a lot of times of having one foot turn out. And what this simple hand clasp does is gets us out of our forward shoulders, forward head position that we find ourselves in just the design of the chairs, cars, seats, etc. And also we're looking at screens a lot of times. We're looking down at a phone. And we've developed this posture around that compresses the front body, shortens the front body. I'm going to exaggerate. And then the back body gets overstretched. So both are tight. This is kind of short tight, and this is long tight, weaker tight. And just by bringing the hands behind the back, we can get some opening across the shoulders. We can actually breathe more easily. And if we add a tiny shoulder blade squeeze, very gentle, you can feel maybe a little more stretch if that feels okay, across the chest. And what I call just an easeful, fuller breath, just allowing yourself to breathe more intentionally. So in this positional therapy practice, when I work with people, I give them homework, something like this. So for 1 minute, you would do this. You would take a break from sitting at your desk. And you don't have to do the shoulder blade squeeze. That's sort of an add-on. And you could even squeeze your glutes a little, because those are muscles that go into sleep mode, very important core muscles for the structural integrity of the pelvis. The body will send us a lot of signals in the form of discomfort or pain, and a lot of times we push through them, we're too busy, not now. So this is just a simple antidote to that slouch posture that we're in, and can be helpful when you do it regularly, when you repeat it. So I'll assign something like that to someone. Can you do this 1 minute, 3 times a day during your day? And let's see, do I want to do something else standing? I think that's good. So you can go ahead and sit back down. But one of the things I do, I'm going to get ready to wrap up, is I do go on meditation retreats, started in 2007 as part of my one of my yoga and meditation certifications. And I was just there January 8th that week, very recently, where I go to a place in Barre, Massachusetts, which is set up. It was started in 1975. And it's set up for us to experience kind of a monastic life for a week. We're in silence. We actually have a little ceremony where we hand in the phone and renounce the phone. That was the first time, actually, this year, where it used to be just turn your phone off and whatever. Now they're actually, because we realized the addiction, so that was a huge, ooh, this is different this year. I was glad to do it. But interesting how much that device. So I do that to really reconnect with myself. That is a way once a year that I'm able, and that sounds kind of extreme maybe to some of you, but you know, this is what I do in my life. It's a lifestyle, and also it helps me to care for others. And so some of the side effects of mind-body centering, some of the things that can come about are we connect with ourselves, we learn to like ourselves better, we have a little more self-care, self-compassion. That in turn translates to being able to extend that. We have our well filled. We can extend that to others more easily. And this idea of just having this awareness, I really feel like this ability to attend and bring our attention to what we choose to attend to is a superpower. And I'll just let you know other superpowers that I think go right along with this. I made a little list. I can find it. So these are kind of my gentle messages, which aren't too flashy or exciting in our culture. This is what I wrote. Centering superpowers to live life in the present, even in the face of individual and collective challenges. You know what that is, right? Yeah. Soft is the new strong. Soft is the new strong. The ability to relax on purpose through just some of these simple things that I shared with you, and rebalance is a strength. Is a huge strength to be able to deal with the challenges that we have. Slowing down, any way you can find to slow down, even if it's just one activity of your day that you allow more time for. Slowing down. We're not going to be able to keep going at the pace of technology. It's just not sustainable for human beings. We haven't evolved to have this. We're not machines. The ability to self-soothe. We tend to, in our culture, look for other things outside us to help us relax. And we could go into a whole list of that. You know, sitting on the couch with the remote. You know, some people say that's relaxing. Having new wine might be relaxing. Whatever the things are, your exercise and things that are more nourishing. But being able to self-soothe. And some of these things I shared with you start to turn and that change the channel so that I can find this place where I can just be with my breath or notice my body supported by the chair. So being able to pause and settle into ourselves. And I'll close with a poem. And this is by Dana Faulds called Walk Slowly. It only takes a reminder to breathe, a moment to be still, and just like that, something in me settles, softens, makes space for imperfection. The harsh voice of judgment drops to a whisper, and I remember again that life isn't a relay race, that we will all cross the finish line, that waking up to life is what we were born for. As many times as I forget, catch myself charging forward without even knowing where I'm going, that many times I can make the choice to stop, to breathe,
and be, and walk slowly into the mystery. Thank you very much for your kind attention this morning. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you, Heather. You know, it wasn't until I retired that I realized just how frenetic my life was. And it's even in retirement, it's hard to slow down and take that moment to self-center. Certainly, I understood about going to the gym and, you know, keeping your body fit, but really, I understand even more every day how much work I need to do to keep this and this centered. So thank you, Heather. So it is that time in our service for matters of the heart, where if you have something, a joy or a sorrow that's weighing you down, we invite folks from the audience and on Zoom to share that at this time.
I will turn this back over to Linda to close our time of sharing.
This is our own Christine Perry singing this song and accompanied by Isaac Strader, who you will see at the piano sometimes. Not today.
Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Even This Is Enough by Reverend Vanessa Southern. So much undone, so much to do, so much to heal in us and the world, so much to acquire, a meal, a healthy body, a fit one, a lover, a job, a better job, proof we are here and are enough just around the corner of now. And up against it, the reality of all that falls short and the limits of today. We honor the limits. If your body won't do what it used to do, for right now, let it be enough. If your mind won't stop racing or can't think of the word, let it be enough. If you are here utterly alone and in despair, be all that here with us. If today you cannot sing because your throat hurts or you don't have the heart for music, be silent. When the offering plate goes around, if you don't have money,
to give or their heart to give it, let it pass. The world won't stop spinning on our axis if you don't rise to all occasions today. Love won't cease to flow in your direction. Your heart won't stop beating. All hope won't be lost. You are part of the plan for this world's salvation of that unhappy girl. The world needs its oceans of people striving to be good, to carry us to the shores of hope and wash fear from the beachheads and cleanse all wounds so that they can be. But oceans are big, and I'm sure there are parts that don't feel up to the task for whole some days. Rest if you must, then, like the swimmer lying on her back who floats, or the hawk carried out on cushions of air. Rest in pews made to hold weary lives in space carved out for the doing of nothing much but being. Perhaps then you will feel it in your bones, in your weary heart, making sense that this is enough. Even this. That we are enough. We are enough. Extinguish this challenge and the fire that we will carry with us. And Preston, you do the announcement.